This sermon is Believing God Brings Righteousness. Believing God Brings Righteousness. We're going to read the first 12 verses. Amen. We'll give just a second. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That is a remarkable line in your Bible. You should underline it. You should highlight it. Memorize it. Put it in your heart. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imparts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had while still uncircumcised, that might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Father God, I come before you today, and I pray, Lord, that you make this scripture alive to us. Lord, help us to see what the Spirit of God is saying at this very moment through this scripture to us, to our hearts. May we glean from it the spiritual truth, the spiritual insight, Lord, that you would speak to us in this scripture. If you were right here in person, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Believing God brings righteousness. I feel like the Lord dropped this line in my heart early this morning, the early hours of the morning. The story of your life will be played out through your beliefs. The story of your life will be played out according to your beliefs. In other words, it matters what you believe. If I believe that my wife is a gift of God to me, I will treat her like something precious. If I believe there's lots of fish in the sea, and if this fish gets to stinking, I'll just go back fishing. I will treat her totally different. It matters the way I believe. If I believe that Toyota's is the best car made, I'd be a fool to drive a Mercury, a Ford, a Chevrolet, because I have a belief. If I believe there's danger in living a sinful life, then my actions will eventually catch up with my beliefs. It may not be immediate, but eventually your actions always catch up with what you believe. Does that make sense? It may take a little while, but eventually it's going to catch up. So we're in this, and Paul asks a question again. And he says, basically, they start talking about Abraham. Well, Abraham, our father, was found according to the flesh, you know, and he was righteous, and what is this? You ever get in a jam in life, you get into a situation where you're just a little over your head, and your mind may go back to something like this. I wonder what my mom and dad would do if they had to go through this. What decision, why do you think that? Because it's somebody you really trust. You trust their judgment. So you go back and you think, what would mom do? What's some of the things maybe that she has told me? You know, mom always told me, two wrongs don't make it right. Because I would sometimes want to retaliate rather than love. Two wrongs don't make it right, Eric. Talk to me a whole lot about work. Work, work, work. Boy, she preached that one a whole lot. And I understand that. Sometimes in a nation, when you talk to us, even at this time in our country's history, when it seems like things are really rocky, oh my goodness, the nation's at a crossroads that I don't believe it's ever been before, and you start hearing something like this, wonder how George Washington would have handled this. What's some of the teachings? What's some of the philosophy of Abraham? What's the philosophy of George Washington? What did our forefathers, the men who formed us, Benjamin Franklin, what did they believe? What did they say in the Constitution? How does that affect us today? Are we living according to that principles that they wrote down? Well, that's exactly what the Jews are saying right here. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? So Paul jumps right into it. And that's where you get that statement. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It wasn't that what Abraham did necessarily, it's his beliefs that brought him righteousness. Abraham, and this story starts in Genesis chapter 12. God appeared to Abraham, God somehow talked to Abraham. We don't really know. Now, several times in Abraham's life, God literally appeared to him in some form or fashion. We don't really know what happened here. I don't know if God spoke to him in a dream. I don't know if God somehow, he just knew in his knower that God was speaking to him, but he told him to leave his father's land. His father was an idol maker. Don't you find that interesting? That apple rolled a long way from the tree, right? Didn't follow in his dad's footsteps. He heard God say, get out of the land, leave your mom and dad, leave the land of your ancestry, which was uncommon for them, and go to the place where I'll show you. I'm not going to tell you right now, but go to the place. Abraham packed his bags and left. And that trust, that belief was counted to him as righteous. But as you study the person of Abraham, he doesn't always look like such a great guy. Now, I'm going to say something just a little rough. But in today's speech, I think it's accurate. He pimped his wife twice. Two different occasions. When things got tough and he thought the circumstances may be rough on me, he sells his wife out. He says, tell him you're my sister, not my wife. Now, she was his half-sister, so it wasn't a total lie, but she was his wife. So not everything Abraham did was so precious. But when you read the story of while God relates to Abraham, you see a man that's precious in the sight of God. Verse 9 through 12, he jumps ahead and they start talking about circumcision. It seems like the Jews always go to circumcision. They always want to talk about this. Well, you know, you got to be circumcised. It's the action that really counts. If you're not circumcised, if you don't do the do, you cannot be made righteous. We don't understand that philosophy. We don't understand that much today. However, sometimes we would say this, if you're not baptized, you ain't going to heaven. You got to be baptized. You got to be baptized. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. It's not in the do. It's in the heart. It's the belief. Do we teach baptism? Absolutely. Do we teach circumcision? Not so much. It's up to you. But baptism It's not the covenant. You get it? Baptism is not the covenant. It's the sign of the covenant. We get really confused once in a while. And we start making signs the covenant. We start making the signs the big deal. The big deal is your heart. This is the big deal. I'm going to tell you, if we have to get into heaven by our actions, hell better be expanded again. Right? Abraham's righteousness was imputed to him. King James, now this version says that it was accounted to him. The King James says reckoned. Now every good Southern understands what reckoned meant. But those Northerners didn't know it, so that's why King James had to change it in the New King James and say it was accounted. Every good redneck says, well, I reckon that'll happen, as he spits his chew. And he knows. What's that mean? What's reckon means? He says, I've added up all the facts. I put all the facts together and I'm adding them up, and this ought to happen. I reckon it this way. I accounted it. It is an accounting term. I accounted. His righteousness was accounted to him. Not because of what he did, but because of his belief. That may not mean a whole lot to you yet, but I think it will by the end of the service. Next, they go to the man David. Two guys that really just stand out in the history of those Jewish brothers of this nation. Abraham and David. And, you know, when you start looking at David's actions were extremely wicked. And in one story, I think he breaks almost every one of the Ten Commandments. He lies, he kills, he steals, he covets, he commits adultery, not honoring his mom and dad. The only thing I don't know that he did is took the name of the Lord in vain. I got a feeling he probably did that one. Just to make it a complete set. David's actions sometimes were wicked. But when you read the scripture, God says he's a man after my own heart. My goodness, that doesn't reckon here, does it? Doesn't come together here for me. But listen to what David wrote in Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. He imputes righteousness. He doesn't impute iniquity. And in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you and my iniquities I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Hebrews 13:8 says God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You confess your sin to God. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. Hallelujah. So that when the Lord looks down and he sees you, TV wants to make you think, cartoons all the way up to the movies, they want to make you think that he's got this ledger in the sky that he's creating and he's checking off your actions. Well, Ozzy lied here, and Ozzy did this, and Ozzy did this. Well, Ozzy helped his neighbor, and Ozzy paid his tithes, and Ozzy went to church, but Ozzy did this, and Ozzy did this. And they make us want to think that there's some kind of grand total in the sky, comparing your good deeds to your bad deeds, and if you do enough good deeds, you might get in, but if, you know, you better be careful. Take that list and just wad it up and throw it away. God's not looking at the list of your good deeds and your bad deeds. God's looking at your heart. Do you believe? Why? Because your beliefs will come out in your actions. eventually. Why did David repent? Because his belief. David knew he was guilty. He knew he had done wrong. He knew that in the face of everybody that he was the king over, they probably had lost total respect for this man. But to him, the only one that he was worried about was God. Because he knew God always looked upon him favorably. He knew that God loved him and he loved God. Most important thing in your life, do you love God? Do you know that he loves you? It's a simple message, guys. Just doesn't get any deeper than that. Righteousness will come as a result of your beliefs, not your work. True faith leads us to actions. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Why did he go out? Because he trusted. Let me just say this also. Your belief is built upon your relationship. Belief is built upon your relationship. If you barely know me, you have a certain amount of belief in me because of who I am, because of the place that I'm standing, because I'm the pastor of BOH, you come in and you have this expectation from me, and the generally speaking, people will come in with a certain amount of respect and a certain amount of, they'll listen to me. But as our relationship grows, your ear to me gets deeper. You say, you start wanting to spend a little bit more time with you. I mean, you start wanting to say, tell me what you would do in this circumstance. How would you handle this, Pastor? How would you do this? Why? Because our relationship is growing. We've been married 34 years, and 34 years ago, I thought I loved this woman more than I could ever love her, you know, at any point. But today, I can tell you, the love that I have for her today puts that love to shame. I mean, it was like, if you compare it, it's like, was that even love? Why? Because the relationship has grown. The trust has grown. That's the way we are with Jesus. You hear the message and you say, I want to trust Jesus. And you ask him into your heart, but there's little relationship because you don't know who that is. All you know is maybe what the pastor has spoke to you at that time. You say, that makes sense. I will trust in him. So you put your faith in God. But as you go through the storms of life, and as you go through life, and you see how faithful he is, that relationship grows. And so does that faith in who he is. Now, sometimes your actions and my actions just don't represent my heart very well. And when that happens, we have an advocate with the Father. But eventually, the longer I've been living for God for about 47 years, and I will tell you, life really gets pure all the way along. Why? Because that belief, that trust is leading me. Does that make sense? It's leading my decisions. So what is fear then? Fear is perverted faith, and it leads you to action. What happens to the believer when Satan comes in and he sows a lie? Has God really said? It goes all the way back to the garden. Did God really say that? What's he doing? He's messing with her. He's messing with her. He's messing with that mind. He is trying to plant just a little bit of doubt. Did God really say that? He moved into a perfect environment where God Almighty would come down every day and walk and talk with them. And he deceived her. Don't you tell me, child of God, that we cannot be deceived. We better be careful. We better stay close to the Master. Sometimes Satan just plants that fear. And if you're not careful, out of fear, you'll make your decisions. And if it's perverted faith, guess what kind of decisions you're going to make? Perverted decisions. You're going to make the wrong decisions. It's going to affect your life if you're operating in fear and doubt rather than faith. This is big. This is really, this is where we live and move and have our being. This is us, guys. You're going to move in one. You're going to move in faith, or you're going to move in fear and doubt. I pray to God you're moving in faith. But when you get a little perverted faith in there called fear, how many ladies have married people not because they were in love with them, but because they felt like maybe that's my only choice? What happened? Fear moved in. Perverted decision was made. We make decisions. Maybe this is not the job that I know that I'm really supposed to go to. This is not what the direction that God is leading me, but I don't see any other doors opening up, so I think I'll take that until God opens the right door. Oh, dear God. Don't go through any door that God doesn't open. It's not a second best for you. You want the best. So sometimes we make decisions out of fear rather than out of faith. Out of what God has spoke to me, out of what I believe God is doing in my life. Hebrews 3:12 says, don't have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from a living God. Don't have an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief. We don't get it like God gets it. Unbelief and pride are two of the greatest sins. See, sometimes we just think, well, you know, not a big deal. I didn't believe God on that. It was a lie. I didn't believe God. That ain't the way God sees it. I think God takes it as a personal offense. You didn't believe me. I gave my life for you, and you didn't trust me with that. Men, how many things have you tried to do it on your own rather than waiting for God to open the door? Waiting for God to give you the correct wisdom. You reckoned some things together and thought, this is the best decision I can make. The only thing in your reckoning, you left God out of the equation. You see, when you get these balances going, I don't care how big one side is, the side that God is on is always going to have the greatest sum. It's always going to compute. Go with God. Go with God. I don't care if the only positive thing you see out of this action is God told me to do this and it doesn't make sense to me because it looks like I need to make this decision, I need to go through this door, I need to do it this way, but I really feel in my heart that God is saying, don't do that, wait for me, I'm going to open another door. Listen to God. Listen to God. In Mark 11:22, Jesus told the people, he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Every time I read that, I'm just challenged. What are you asking, Lord? What are you asking to have faith in God? First, believe that God exists. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The very first thing that you've got to believe that there is a God. I believe, according to Scripture in Romans, it says every man is given the measure of faith. I believe the measure of faith is the faith that it takes to believe that there is a God. And I believe that's less faith than what it takes to believe in evolution, the Big Bang Theory, or anything the scientists can come up with. I have no problem believing that God spoke the world into existence. I have major problems believing that two things in the air collided and out comes an earth. Tell me which takes greater faith. To look at a monkey and... Okay. Maybe they have a little. I don't believe I came from a monkey. I believe I come from my daddy. Amen. Father God, made in his image and his likeness. You got to believe that God is good. Christians, listen to me. Believe that God is good. Lamentations 3:22 through 25 says, through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him, who seeks him. The Lord is good. James chapter 1 says there's no shadow of turning with God. In other words, there's no bad side to God. He doesn't get up and in a certain mood some days. He doesn't have bad days. He doesn't have bad hair days. He doesn't just get up and think, I'm just going to curse them all today. And then tomorrow gets up and says, where's my people? I just love my people. That ain't God. God's always good. You've got to get that in your heart. You've got to get it in so deep that I don't care what your circumstances. See, we are so circumstantially led. If I'm on the mountain, God's good. Oh yeah, bless the Lord. I just got a $10,000 a year pay raise. My God is good. But the day I get my pink slip, the day when my income goes away, what will I say? The day you watch your house burn to the ground, the day the doctor tells you you're not curable, what do you say when everybody that speaks to you doesn't say nice things? When the people that you said were friends, all of a sudden, they say, I don't trust them. You say, God is good. And God is faithful. And the world turns against me. God is still good. You understand what I'm saying? Get it deep in your hearts. John 10:10, get it deep. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God has come that you might have life and have it abundantly. He's the life giver, not the life taker. Satan trying to take. All good things come from God. All bad things come from the devil. Hallelujah. God is good. Believe that God cares about me. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I think sometimes that's hard for us. Sometimes I think we see that God is so big. How could he know me? How could he know my problems? How could he know what I'm going through? He does. That's why God is infinite and you are finite. Because God says, not only do I know you, I know every hair on your head. My thoughts towards you are more numerous than the sand on the seashore. It's an amazing thing. My mind can't comprehend how much he cares for me. Say, but does he care for me when I'm going through that extreme time? Absolutely. You want to see the faithfulness of God? Look for him in the storms of life. You will see the goodness of a daddy. You see, I have three boys and I can't protect them from all life's got for them. But I can tell you one thing. If they called me today saying, Dad, we need you up here, we would pack our bags and we would be there prompto. Just like that. Everything else would get laid aside. There's nothing more important than taking care of my babies. Even though they might be 32 years old, they're still my babies. I guess I'm a little better than God. Are you kidding me? I'm evil compared to God. If I would drop everything for my son that said, Dad, I need you right now. What do you think God does when you cry out to him and say, Dad, I need you right now? I'm telling you, he leaves the 99 according to scripture. He may have 100 sheep on one field, but he said, I will leave the 99 to go and care for that one. He's an amazing God. He's better than you can think. Believe that God hears me when I cry. 1 Peter 3:12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer." To some people, that's a scary verse. To me, that's a comforting verse. I'm telling you, I settled it long time ago. It doesn't matter if I feel it or not. Doesn't matter if I get the goosebump anymore. I used to think God only heard me if I got the goosebump. Sort of my training, my Pentecostal upbringing. If I don't feel the hair on my neck stand up, I better get a little louder. It's nonsense. The truth of the matter is when I say God, his ears turn right to me. Why? Because I'm his son. He knows me. He loves me. Settle that in your heart. I hear so many Christians that's been saved so long that are still battling this same thing. They're still saying, "I just don't know if God hears me when I cry out." What are you saying? Let the word of God be true and every man a liar. Let your circumstances, let your experience, let your feelings be a lie. The word of God is true. I don't care what you feel. I don't reckon, good old southern term, I don't reckon the three Hebrew children felt like God was with them until they stepped into the fire. I got a feeling they felt pretty lonely. Something we never talk about. These three Hebrew children and Daniel, they were made eunuchs. I don't want to get rough, but every man's pretty, they like what they got. And they don't want to lose it. These young men lost something great when they went to this foreign land. They would never produce an offspring. They would never be able to be a husband to a wife. I don't know about you, but I think something like that happened to me, I may wonder, is there really a God? And if there is, why did he let this happen to me? You know, that's just the truth of life right there. It's not a sin to think the thought. Just don't make your decisions based on that. Come back to the truth of the Word of God. Tell yourself, stop thinking that way. That's nonsense. We'll go one further. Not only nonsense, listen to me really closely. It's antichrist thinking. See, we sort of like to scoot around our own sin. Well, you know, your sin's probably going to send you to hell, but my sin, God will forgive. You know, come on now, it ain't that bad. This is my baby. So we rationalize it. We can rationalize anything. Sin is sin, my brother. Sin is sin. Your sin's no worse than my sin. But it is sin. And God can forgive us and God can help us through those times. Number E5, I guess, believe that God is able. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." God is able. I don't care what you're going through, God's able. You need to hear that. God's able. God's able to provide. God's able to give you the wisdom. God's got a great dream for you. God's able to get you to your destiny. I don't care what Satan has done. I don't care how it maybe life has taken a turn that you did not expect. God is able. God's not forgotten you. He's not overlooked you. You're not second generation to him. You're not a stepchild. You are a child. God is able. Get it in your heart. Get it deep. believe that God wants to have a relationship with me. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love for us, his own love for us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He took the first step. You know, I have come to the conclusion in my heart that I'm not a very good friend. I'm really not. I'm a friend to many people, but I'm not a good friend. Because I know what a good friend looks like. I have friends that are good friends. Good friends call you. They reach out to you for nothing. They don't need anything. They just want to check on you. They just want to have a conversation with you. I'm not much like that. I love people. I love them dearly. But I'm probably not a good friend. At least not in my mind. But he is. He takes the first step in the relationship. You know, many times in Trevenar's life, when we've had difficulties, it's been her that has come and apologized first. Most of the time, she's the one that made the mistake. But I don't know why you guys never believe that. You always take her side of it. God is that person. God is the one that steps out first. The prodigal son, when he turned the corner to make his way towards home, Dad was looking for him. Come a running. The last thing is believe that God is willing. Believe that God is willing. In Mark chapter 9, we're told this story. He says, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth. He becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they would cast it out, but they couldn't. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at his feet. So he asked his father, How long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he's thrown in both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Now listen to what this dad says. But if, oh my, how many times are we going to God with that if word? That if word is a filthy word in God's language. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if, let me put it back to you. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people come running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit and said to him, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. I love this story. Because I believe this story is where you and I live. This is the story of a dad who loved his son. Loved his son enough to take him wherever he needed to go to get help. So he brought him to the master. First he takes him to the disciples. Says, well, these guys ought to be able to help. But they couldn't help. They didn't do it. Didn't cut the mustard. So then he takes him to Jesus and he says, if you can do anything about this, I wish you would. Jesus puts it back on him. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Then the words of this man just ring so true in my heart. Lord, I believe. But man, I'm racked with doubt. I'm racked with unbelief and fear. I've lived with this boy all of his life. Been like this all the time. I want to believe 100%. Could you help me over my unbelief? Isn't it amazing That's all he needed. That's all that Jesus needed. I believe, help me with my unbelief. I believe every child of God goes through this situation time and time again. I believe I'm healed. But man, there's a side of my brain that is just talking to me. And I try to quiet it constantly. I try to tell it to shut up and get behind me. But I'm going to tell you, I still have to deal with it. I believe. I know you're my Savior. I know you're good. I know that you're willing. But man, I'm having trouble believing. Will you do it for me? Will you do it for me? Oh, today in our churches, we have to pray this. If it's your will. Oh my goodness, if I'm ever sick, don't you let that person pray for me. I don't want to hear somebody saying, if this is your will to heal him, heal him. And if it's your will to afflict him, strike him down, and send him to hell, so be your will, God. Dear Jesus, get me out of that church, get me out of there quick. I want to hear the man says, your word declares, and I believe. And I speak to this sickness. I want to hear somebody that's got a little faith in the goodness and the willingness of God. But every once in a while, we got to be reminded, all he needs is, yes, I believe, but the honesty of, Lord, but I'm dealing with some other things. God doesn't send him away and say, well, when you take care of that unbelief, you come back to me. He heals the son with that kind of honesty. I'm going to tell you guys, if you're waiting till you get your act together before you ask the big one of God, you ain't ever going to receive. Because you ain't ever going to get your act together. Simple truth. Thank God we don't go to heaven because we got our act together. We go to heaven because we believe right. And that is counted to us, just like it was counted to Abraham, as righteousness. We made a great trade, guys, when we trade a robe of sin for a robe of righteousness over one simple thing. Yes, I believe. How simple could he make it for us? Have you ever thought about that? How simple could he make it? We try to complicate it. We try to say, no, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do this. We got all kinds of rules. We've written books about the rules that you got to do to make it to heaven. You got to believe. You got to believe. The good news is, you keep believing right, and your actions will turn right. That's good. That's good news. Many, many years I tried to correct my actions. I didn't realize I just needed to correct my thinking. Correct my beliefs that God is good. Stand with me if you would. As you serve the Lord, your faith should increase as your relationship increases in Him. It gets sweeter as the days go by. We write songs about this. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. Remember those old songs? That's the way it's supposed to be. The more I know Him, the more I love Him. Hallelujah. The closer I get to Him, the more I realize how good He is. You see, your beliefs will affect your actions. You got to believe right. Do you believe right? Do you believe that you're the apple of His eye? You're special to God. You are special to God. God loves you. He absolutely is crazy about you. He can be trusted. You can trust Him. You can bring every care, every need that you ever have, you can bring it to the throne of grace. He will hear you, and He will answer you. We don't always get the answer that we want, but He will always answer. God will answer you. God will protect you. He will love you. He will gather you up. He'll take care of you when you're sick. When you're mentally confused, God cares. He's the only one that can heal you. He's the only one that can drive fear and doubt out. Satan wants to kill you. Satan hates you. Satan wants you to be defeated. He wants to make a mockery of your life. Jesus wants you to overcome. Scientific, historical, philosophical evidence will not secure your beliefs. Only your relationship with Him will secure your beliefs. We have scientific, philosophical, historical evidence that Jesus is Lord, that there really was a Jesus and He really died for your sins. We have the evidence, but the evidence won't help you. It's your heart. Will you believe? Most of you in this room are saved. So I'm going to go one deep. Whatever you're dealing with today, will you believe God to make it better? Will you confess your sin? Will you confess your unbelief? Will you be as honest as this man in Scripture and say, Lord, I believe, but I'm really having some doubts when it comes to this one. Will you be that honest? Because that's all He needs. I remember talking to a guy one time that had such hatred for another man. And I said, man, you got to forgive him. He said, I can't forgive him. You don't understand what he did. I can't forgive him. Somehow the Lord used me. And I said, can you tell God that you're willing to be made willing to forgive this man? And he looked at me. And he said, I can do that. I can't do it in my own power, but I can tell God that I'm willing to let Him make me willing. You see, that's all God needs. All God needs is permission to come in and to fix it. Even if you don't have total faith, total trust, will you give Him permission? I'm speaking to your hearts. I'm speaking to your hearts. Will you give God permission to enter into the darkest room of your heart? We all have them. We don't show them at church, okay? That room that's so dark and nasty, probably the only person that knows it exists is maybe your wife or your husband. Will you give it to God? Will you say, God, I'm going to allow you to come in and to fix this? You know, anytime that you're speaking to this amount of people, most likely you've got people that have had abortions. You have got people that have asked their girlfriends to have an abortion. You've got people that have done horrendous things. We all have a past. Every one of us in this room have a past. There's a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, that cut a lady's head off when he was 18. He's got a past. But God's grace is greater than his past. I don't care what your past is. I don't care what you're harboring. Maybe you've been raped. Maybe you have been used. God can heal it. God can heal those hurts. Maybe you've been abused sexually, physically, mentally, God can heal it. Will you give him permission? Father God, I pray for these people. Lord Jesus, I just know the Spirit of God is wanting to do something. Lord, we believe. Will you say that? Will you confess that with me? Lord, we believe. Come on, out loud. Lord, we believe. We believe. Father God, I'm asking that you go into the depths of the heart. Bring your light and heal the hurts. Heal the scars. Heal those things that are affecting our future. Lord, cauterize those things that are bleeding at the very moment and bring healing in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, there may be some of you that's very disappointed at this point in your life because of the week that you lived. Maybe you've done some things that you know are not right. Don't let that hang over you. Ask forgiveness. Make it part of your past, not part of your future. It's your past. Father, forgive me. I've got mad. I spoke words that I shouldn't have said. Maybe you looked at pornography. No telling what. Maybe you've smoked a joint this week. Maybe you got drunk. I know this crowd. It's your past. Ask forgiveness. Your belief. Keep your belief right. It will fix your actions. Keep your belief right. It will fix you. Amen. Amen. Brother Danny is going to come and dismiss us. If I could, Peggy, would you come up and pray with Beth?